like to talk to you tonight about something that you don't normally hear on a Good Friday service in a message. And what, as I've been reading through this, the topic that came to mind, and I trust the Lord brought it to mind, is topic of deal making and investing. And, you know, as you think about your own life, you've, over the course of your life, made some deals. You've made some investments. Some have worked out well. Some maybe didn't work out so well. I remember when Christy and I got married, we bought a home in Haverhill, two family. And I went into seminary at that point, and we had rental income coming in. And we sold it 3 years later, and we made about a 30% profit. Good deal, looking back. I also recall when I was in my 20s, I had money to invest because I didn't have kids or a family. So I invested some of it in stocks, and it was really easy. It was the dot-com boom, and everything you invested in just went up for a while, and then it went back down. And so I can look back on that, and I can see a bad deal. And that didn't work out so well. And you probably have similar stories coming to mind, but usually you need some perspective and time to be able to see whether it was a good deal or a bad deal. One deal in American history is the Louisiana Purchase. We bought in the early 1800s, the United States bought, all the land in the heartland, from North Dakota, Montana, down through Kansas, Nebraska, down to Louisiana, 800,000 square miles for $15 million. At the time, it was a good amount of money, and we paid that to the French, and I'm sure the French enjoyed receiving that money. But looking back, good deal for the U.S. But as you look at a deal, there are some things you got to think about. What am I going to get now versus what's going to happen in the future? And as human beings, we tend to be focused on now, and we tend to be impatient, and we have to look ahead to what's going to happen in the future, and that sometimes is hard to do. I think about it when you have little kids, and your little kid says, you know, when am I going to get my snack? And you say, well, in about 10 minutes. And then 14 seconds later, they say, now? And then 12 more seconds, now? No, just wait. Just wait. And we laugh and we smile at that. But I wonder if our Father in heaven laughs and smiles at us sometimes. Lord, 40 years in the wilderness? Now? When can we go in to the promised land? Now? And we want what we want now. Right now, my family's in the process of selling Christie's parents' house in Maine, and we really want that to be done. And I keep saying, now, Lord, you know, can we make this happen? But I know that there's going to reach a point when I'm 80 years old and I can look back and just say, yeah, I remember when we sold that house up in northern Maine, and you can look back on it and say, no big deal. But what's a struggle for us on earth is we have to live in the present, in the temporal, in the temporary, but we're actually citizens of heaven, which is eternal. And so we have that challenge as Christians, that challenge of trying to look at things from God's perspective. And I want you to think about how God looks at things. So God is not in time. He's not limited by time. God is outside of time. He sees creation. He sees everything he made. He sees the universe. He sees Adam and Eve. He sees Abraham and Moses. He sees Jesus coming to the earth. He sees the death and resurrection. He sees 2017. He sees Jesus' second coming. Whenever that happens, he sees it all, and he has this perfect perspective. And when I get in a tough time or a stressful time or there's just pressure in life, I try to take a step back and I try to look at it from God's perspective. And I try to say, how important is this thing right now? How important is this time and this money or whatever I have? How important is this right now? And then I take a look at my whole life. Is it really a big deal in relation to my whole life? Is it a big deal in relation to eternity? A lot of times it's not. Sometimes it is. Sometimes things do have great eternal value. And that brings me to the passage I want to read to you today. And we have the story of a man who made a really bad deal, who made a bad trade. And it more than a bad trade, it just came from an evil heart. And in Matthew chapter 26, starting with verse 14, here's what it says. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. What will you give me? That was the deal he was looking for. And continuing on, it says this. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, 'Surely you don't mean me, Lord.' Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born.' Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, 'Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi.' Jesus answered, 'You have said so.'" So just to put this in perspective, 30 pieces of silver, I looked it up, and it depends on how big the pieces of silver, how big the coins were, but it could have been a few hundred dollars, say $500. He made a trade. He betrayed the Messiah for $500. He got that money, and just think about that trade. He was trading eternity. And when you read Scripture, it says that Judas is called the son of perdition. That word perdition means lostness. Now, I've had people ask me, "Do you really think Judas is completely lost? Do you think he didn't go to heaven?" Well, Scripture seems to indicate he doesn't. And it says it would be better if he hadn't even been born. So, in effect, he gave up heaven. He gave that up for $500. I mean, and really, his heart was already gone anyway. His heart wasn't for the Lord. But in that transaction, the verse that keeps coming back to me is the one from Mark 8. What profits a man who gains the whole world, yet loses his soul? And that was the trade. He sacrificed the temporary. I say it the other way. He sacrificed the eternal for the sake of the temporary. How is that $500 treating him right now, 2,000 years later? Does him no good right now. And as a matter of fact, he even threw it back when everything happened. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at Jesus in just the opposite way, because I want you to see the contrast. Jesus was willing to sacrifice the temporary for the eternal. Jesus sacrificed one day. He sacrificed his life. He sacrificed his comfort. He took on the pain Thursday night and into Friday. And he experienced that pain. He even experienced death for one day. In 3 days, he stayed in the tomb. But for that relatively short period of time, he bought us eternal life. He bought himself glory. And he is worthy of glory. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive wealth and power and honor and praise. We read that in Revelation. So he traded a day. He traded his earthly life for the sake of eternity. That's the better trade, so that we can live forever. And, you know, this is a lesson that we learn our whole life, is making a sacrifice now for something down the road. This is a lesson that we learn from our parents and a lesson that we teach our kids. You know, you teach your kids, you want to study hard so you get good grades, so you can get into a good college, so you can get a good job. You want to teach them to look down the road. Athletes do that. they train today for the sake of a race in the future somewhere. We have a marathon coming up in Boston on Monday. The guy who wins it, the woman who wins it, they're not going to just win it on Monday. Whoever wins it has won it with months and maybe years of training, right? And looking ahead to that time. Well, I want to take this out beyond just our life, and I want to look at eternity. What are you willing to trade today for the sake of eternity? Jesus did it. Jesus showed us how to do that. And because he died, we can now live forever. If you believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have eternal life. What can we do to be like Jesus? How can we take a different perspective? How can we sacrifice time, effort, energy, money, our resources for the sake of eternity? How can we do that? Some of you, well, you're doing it right now. You know, some people might be home just saying, I just want to watch TV tonight. You're here praising the Lord. This has eternal value. Well, would you sacrifice your reputation to walk up to a person and tell them about Jesus? Well, they might think you're a weirdo, Jesus freak, or whatever you want to put to that. Would you be willing to sacrifice that temporary moment of whatever you want to call it, awkwardness, for that person's eternity? Would you be willing to help or love a brother and sister, even if it meant putting yourself out for a while? Do we have an eternal perspective? And as I was thinking about this, different things come to mind. As I'm preparing a message, the Lord brings different things to mind, and I trust that it's the Lord who's doing it. And I thought of something that happened 20 years ago. I was in the business world. I was driving to work one day. And as I'm driving down the road, it was in the morning, and there was this guy on his bike riding along the side of the road, and it was raining. And I actually recognized the guy because he went to the church I attended, and he was this guy who was, well, he was special needs. And he wore his bike helmet everywhere. He wore it into church, and everybody in the church looked out for this guy. And I was driving along, and I had a lot of things I needed to do that day. I had projects, I had plans, I had things, I had to get to work, and I had a boss who wanted me at work in a certain time. So I saw the guy and I went, I got to keep going. And I kept going. And 20 years later, I still remembered that. I couldn't tell you what project I was working on. I think my boss would have got over it if I was a little bit late. But I sacrificed this temporary moment, this one day in my life when I could have helped a brother. And the Lord's forgiven me because he died on the cross so I can be forgiven. But I learned from that. That stuck in my head. And, you know, I think about other things and times in my life. You know, for a number of years, I felt the call to be a pastor. I had a really good job that paid well. But eventually, the Lord just put it on my heart, and he said, go. And at that point, you got to say what Jesus says when he was in the garden. Not my will, but yours be done. I left a good-paying job to go into the unknown. You don't know when you get into ministry what you're getting into or where you're going to be. And I had never heard of Ashburnham at that point in my life. And you sacrifice that temporary, that temporal blessing for the sake of eternity. So today, here's my prayer for all of us, that we would have God's perspective, that we would take a step back, and instead of just getting caught up in what we got going right here, look at eternity. And how can I sacrifice today? How can I give up something earthly today, something that's just momentary pleasure for the sake of eternal blessing? Because we're citizens of heaven. I mean, you might be an American citizen, you might be a citizen of Massachusetts, but ultimately, we are all citizens of heaven, and we're going to live forever. That's our dwelling place. We will sacrifice the temporary for the sake of the eternal. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that Jesus showed us how to sacrifice. He showed us how to love. We thank you for that day 2,000 years ago when he gave his life so that we could live forever. He experienced pain. He sacrificed his comfort. He sacrificed his life so that we can live. And I pray that we would all have an eternal perspective and that we would look at things the way you do. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that. Help us to look at things from an eternal perspective. Pray this in your mighty name.